Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. Okay, we're all set now. Ephesians 6 and verse number 17. You know, I've noticed the behavior of some people, and I'm not talking about anybody here, I don't guess. At least I haven't noticed it here, but some people, they have a ritual that they follow every morning. They got to have their cup of coffee before they make any move. I notice that some, and I notice this in older people, as we get older, some people like to read the obituary in the paper every morning. They say they want to check for their name. If they see their name, they know that they're gone. But nevertheless, people can sometimes give you many valuable lessons in life. And this morning, the Bible gives us valuable lessons. So let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come praying this morning asking of you that you continue with your blessings toward us. We ask that you continue to give unto us the breath of life. We know that one day, and the time seems to be moving rapidly now, that it will no longer be that we have breath in these bodies. But nevertheless, we know that your will shall be done. We thank you, Father, for each and every member here this morning. We thank you for the leaders here this morning. We thank you for the visitors here, and we thank you for their families as well. We thank you this morning, Lord, that we might find peace and be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the bloodstained banner of Christ that is being held high. We ask you, Father, to continue to give us your blessings and all the things we need. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for our leaders in this world that they not make any rules or regulations that will hinder us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you and we pray for our sick and our shut-in, all those that are healing, and we pray, Father, that if it be your will, you will continue to give them your healing, mercy, and grace. We thank you, Father, and we pray for those who have lost loved ones, that we continue to uphold them in their strength, in their fight for strength and faith, that they may not lose it. We thank you, Father, for everything. We thank you for all things. We thank you for anything. We thank you for those who have recently traveled and made it back safely. We pray and thank you for those who shall be very shortly traveling again, that they might have safe passage to and from their destination. Then, Father, when all is said and done, may we have a home with thee, from the one who died on yonder's cross. He promised us salvation and gave us salvation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. The warrior's sword. It would be a bad situation to send soldiers out to meet their enemies and to do battle without providing them with weapons. Christians are ordered into battle, but not without the weapons to use against the devil, his angel, and those of whom he may raise up against us. The weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, the warrior's sword, which is the Word of God. The Bible is a powerful weapon. Just how powerful, some may ask. Well, in Hebrews 4:12, which was read for your hearing, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide between joints and marrow. No secret can hide from the Word of God. It can cut through the least of the mind, the lust of the mind, and I would say that is pretty powerful, would you not, church? The Word has the power to convict. Somebody may ask, well, what is conviction? Conviction is a legal term meaning arrested, charged, and found guilty, as in Acts 2 and verse number 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Then they asked of Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you remember how that when the day of Pentecost came, how that Peter and the preached to the people the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not any other gospel. And from this gospel, they, the people of many nations, heard in their own language. From this message, they were convicted in Acts 2 and verse number 37. This is why the Word of God is the warrior's sword, because because of its power. Even before they were convicted, they had to be convinced. And somebody may ask, well, convinced of what? They had to be convinced of the truth. Titus 1 and verse 9, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince, gainsayers. This is the duty given to Titus by Paul to teach others on staying within the gospel in their ministries. In other words, the truth. The Word has the power to change lives. We have a gospel to preach, and that can change lives. It can make crooks to be honest. It make the immoral pure and cause drunkards to become sober. The time is now to preach the gospel, and is found in the Word of God. Those who heard the preacher preach and made a change in Acts 2:41. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Verse number 4, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So in other words, we should come to church every Sunday, first of all, but we should come with an open mind to hear whoever is preaching has to say. Let your ears be open to new thought and new ideas as long as it's within the Word of God. There are many doctrines today being taught. Therefore, we need to be ready to hear what is correct and true so that we may hear what is being said and taught. We must study our Bibles that we may learn to know the truth as well as to rightly divide the word. When we don't know the truth, we can easily fall for any lie. There are many today who teach their own doctrine, and they will tell you this is what God meant. Well, if you don't know the Word of God, how do you know what He meant? The Word has the power to challenge as well. The challenge comes in when we are to obey, for the Word of God is a blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 27, the Word states, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Verse 28 tells us that It can be a call, a curse for those who disobey the commandments of the Lord. Now, what power the Word of God has in its contents. Many people today have many questions and they are looking for answers. This is where God's people can come in at. Some questions people are asking today is, where can I find happiness? Where can I find peace? How am I going to pay my bills? God's word can direct them to the Word of God. The Bible has the answers to all these questions and so much more. You know, when you buy something, and sometimes the box will tell you when you buy something, assembly required, then the manufacturer should give you an instruction sheet to follow in order to put it together that it's not put together wrong. It may give us trouble if it's put together wrongly. And so it is with God's people. He has given us a whole book of instructions for us to follow so that we won't have any trouble later if we follow his instructions. Do you remember or do you recall in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, how that after the death of Abram's father, the Lord told him to get out of the country, away from his kinfolk, from thy father's house, unto a land of Chad, or unto a land that God would show him? Then the answer as to why came in verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and there shall be a blessing. Now I ask you, church, didn't it happen? That Abraham became great, and the power of God's word is mighty, and is just what we need in today's time. You know, every Sunday morning when I get up, I listen to the statistics on the weekend so far. And it tells you how many people have been shot and killed and how many have just been wounded. And I'm appalled and I'm saddened at the fact that so many young folk are dying. And you wonder if they have met the Lord before they die. But you just wonder, when does it all end? Where did it all come from? This is why I believe the Bible, because it will never steer us wrong. The Bible is always right. It points us to the right church. It gives us the right builder. It tells us of the right way to reach our everlastingly heavenly home. It tells us how that we can be saved. It tells us who is the only right Savior. It also tells us the consequences of making wrong choice in this life can cause us to miss the everlasting glory of heaven, and we wind up in the everlastingly heated fires of hell. The Bible is full of life, but it also teaches us of the results of not following its instruction. Remember the product I spoke of a minute ago, that it can give you trouble if you don't follow the instruction sheet for putting it together? Same with the Bible. If we don't follow it, our lives are in danger. The Bible is the only instructions we need to get from life to everlasting life. And if we read and follow it, we can avoid losing out on heaven. So as God's warrior, we need to be able to teach that to others. We need to be able to tell others how great the Lord is and how wonderful it is. Now remember, in the scriptural text for the day, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's, the Word of God. In verse 18 saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all preservation and supplication for all the saints. Now that says a lot there. That says everything we need can be found in the Word of God. That says that everything we need to know about the Lord has been put here. Now, I'm not saying God put everything here, but He put everything we need to know in the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And when I ask the question of many people today, some folks tell you they don't know the Bible. They don't believe in the Bible. And you ask them why, and they say because it's just a bunch of lies that man put in there. And that's a bad attitude to have. Because the Bible is the Word of God. It was not just written by any man, but God-inspired men and women wrote the Word of God under His direction. So when you're considering what to do with your life, you ask the question, what does the Bible tell me to do about that? And if you can't find it in the Bible, don't do it. Don't do it if you can't find it in God's Word. And I heard a man tell me one time, he said, well, that's a gray area. It's not in the Bible. So, well, if it's not in there, why are you going to do it? That's a gray area, all right. But nevertheless, as warriors for God, we need to make sure that we know the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I understand that some people are not interested in finding out the Word of God, because if they were, the church would be full this morning. God prefers a full house. But the house is not full. So when the house is not full, something is missing. Someone is missing. Some person or persons are missing. So we need to go back to the Bible. We need to go back to the Bible so that we may be able to teach the Word of God to others. And when we teach the Word of God to others, we've got to know, make sure that we're right in teaching it. And if you don't study it, then you won't be right in your teaching it. So we've got to study the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So as I draw this message to a close this morning, I want you to know something. The Bible will never steer you wrong. The Bible will never steer you in an awkward position. It may put some things, it's got some things in there that we may not like, but they're not wrong because we don't like them, because we don't know everything that's right. So because God doesn't put in there something that you like to hear or something that suits you, doesn't mean that it's not right. Just means that it doesn't fit your agenda at the moment. As I said, the Bible is full of life, but it also teaches us the results of not following the book of life, the Word of God. And when I think about a church, I recall I told you a few minutes earlier how that some people like to use I have to have their morning coffee before they start the day. Now, I know that some of you are like that. You need your morning cup of joe before you can get started. Brother Hall is smiling at me. I guess he's one of them. But I tell you something, church. To those people who need their coffee in the morning, that's all well and good, but don't forget about your Bible. Don't forget to ask God to grant you a new day, grant you this new day, and keep you in it if you plan on staying here. You know, we can't make it without God. We think we can, but we can't. Everything pertaining to your life and your health and your directions to heaven are included in God's word. Now, if you change courses in the middle of your traveling through this life, you need to change course and look at it again and go back to where you came from. And that is back to the Bible. Now, do you remember what the Bible said happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached that powerful sermon? Over 3,000 souls were baptized. 3,000. That meant that they were coming for a good while up to the front. There was a line formed that you had to get in, probably, because it was so many. And I'd love to have been there, because that must have been some ceremony. Brother Jackson, can you imagine if we put you to work and got you 3,000 people that wanted to get baptized? 3,000 souls were baptized on the day of Pentecost. Now just think about that for a minute, if you will. 3,000 anything is a lot of anything, whatever it might be. But 3,000 souls being baptized, oh, what a day that must have been. But I want to tell you something. And I'll ask the question just directly. I want to ask you something, not tell you something. Of the 3,000 souls, 3,000 plus souls, how many of them came back, I wonder? How many of them stood up and proclaimed their lives to Christ and followed through with it? How many of them were seeking more information on the Word of God? But I think about it, and I know that the Lord had His priorities on. And the church came into existence on the day of Pentecost. So what a day that was. Standing room only, I guess. And we go to God in prayer on each and every Sunday that we show up here at church. We ask God to bless us and to give us more and more. And I want to ask you one question this morning. Have you thought enough of the Lord to thank Him before you get to church? Or do you wait until you get here and let somebody else pray for you? The Bible tells us to pray always. And it tells us to wait upon the Lord. Wait, He said it twice. He said, wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. But you can't wait till you get to church to thank Him for your well-being. You start out in the morning thanking Him just as you did the night before, didn't you? You start out waking with your wake-up call. You say, thank you, Lord. You say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through that darkness called sleep. You say, thank you, Lord, for presenting me into this new day. You say, thank you, Lord, because I have survived, and I didn't survive on my own. I survived because you brought me through it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for so much. And you know, you don't have to have a quantity of words. You can just have a couple of words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for so much and so much, and thank you for this and thank you for that. But you don't have to list out your grocery list of things to thank Him for, because I know there's more that you can thank Him for than you have time enough to thank Him for. When I think about it, I asked a question. Let me see if I got enough time to go into something else. Oh, well, my watch stopped, so. Oh, there it is. I got enough time. You know, in this newfangled age, as they call it, with all the new technology, there's so much you have to do. Like, I have to charge my phone just like you do. And sometimes I actually get tired of plugging it up and charging it. But you know, they say that's part of new technology. A gadget that you used to have to remember back years ago, especially some of us when we were growing up as kids, we could only talk as far as the cord from the wall would let us. Now we can go outside, down the street, up the block, and cross the river, and everywhere with a phone. Remember how that technology has come so far advanced? You can take a phone, you can listen to music, you can take pictures with it, you can search the internet with it. I don't know how to do half of it with mine. I just like to talk on it from time to time. But God is good all the time. He wants us to study His Word. He wants us to know the Word of God. And the Word of God will set us free. The truth shall make you free. Now, when I consider how good Jesus is to us, just two Sundays ago, it was burning up in the building here. Here, two Sundays later, it's nice and cool. And don't go to sleep because I said it's cool in here. It's nice and cool because God has granted us a blessing. He gave us fans to help the air conditioning out. And when you think about it, I don't know about you, but when you think about it, that's a good thing. Because I've been to revivals where they had them in the parking lot of a local church here a few years back. But I've also been to revivals under a tent in a cow pasture. And you know what that could be like? That could be kind of dangerous. 100-degree temperature and you sitting under a tent in the middle of a cow pasture. There's that bad smell. There's the danger in watching where you step and watching for crawling things. But nevertheless, I got to hear God's word. And it was a good meeting. Yes, sir. It doesn't make any difference what you think about the word of God. It must be preached. The word of God has to be preached. And it's going to get preached because there are preachers somewhere willing to preach the word of God. And when you consider that all the words of God put together can bring life to us. Now, I guess I've said enough. So I'm going to issue an invitation now. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already done that, but somewhere you've walked astray, you need to come back home. Come back. Ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the church to pray for and with you that you may gather strength. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.